talk to me.
Information, news, and entertainment on demand.
WSRadio.com.
This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the talented Mary Goulet. How are you, Mary?
Doing well.
Good.
Glad to be back.
Absolutely. So glad to have you here. And I figure we're just going to jump straight into this, and this being reinventing an issue that I don't really know what the answer is. Although we are going to talk about reinventing relationships with Deborah Moorhead, who is here with us in studio. Hi, Deborah, by the way. How are you?
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Hello.
And you let your 6 million followers know all about the show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So thank you for doing
yes.
that as well. But what I want to talk about to kind of kick things off here is I'm disturbed. And I mean, Mary, you know,
yes,
I'm,
you are.
you know, I'm disturbed. I mean, there's never a question about that. But what I'm disturbed about is what just happened in South Carolina. And, you know, it's come to the point. And let me just kind of bring people up to speed here just in case you've been out of the loop. But basically a 21-year-old kid. I mean, that's what you'd call him, Dylan Roof. I don't even like naming his name because that kind of puts a little celebrity behind
that?
It. I know, right? I just, okay, we edited that back out. That was me doing the rewind on the tape there. But, you know, this fucking knucklehead goes into a Charleston, South Carolina church and basically opens fire and kills 9 people, including the church's pastor. And, I mean, it's just so sad. It's just so sad. And I don't know where we went wrong here. I mean, how did it get to the point where not only are we're I don't want to say that we're ingraining hate into our youth, because I mean that hate is coming from somewhere, and hate crimes are on the rise, which is scary given how you think we're becoming a more tolerant society.
Well, and it's young people.
And it's young people,
it's
right?
It's young people.
Yeah.
It's not 40-year-old guys that are...
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, it's just that
PTSD.
Total disenfranchisement, if you will, and just having no clue in terms of what there is to live for. And if I don't have anything to live for, then why on earth should I allow anyone else to have something to live for? But the real question that I have is around the subject of reinventing gun control. And the argument has been made, well, twofold, or I guess technically threefold. You'll get the people who tell you that, you know, guns don't kill people. You know,
people kill people.
People yes. kill people. And then you'll get the other knuckleheads who will say, well, guns don't kill people. Bullets out of the guns kill people. And so let's look at it from the standpoint of just gun control in general, right? Because a lot of states now have laws on the books where you can do concealed carry. And that has opened up. I mean, statistically speaking, we're not seeing a significant rise in the number of shootings since these laws have been enacted. But at the same token, I think that that is just simply a pot waiting to boil, because you've got more people now than ever with guns. And so the question is, do we take a step back? And, you know, you're going to have your right wingers who are going to say, you know, you've got your right to bear arms and, you know, it's our God-given right. Well, no, it's not your God-given right. I mean, it's technically it's in the, you know, the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Ten Commandments or whatever it is. It's one of those, right? I think it's the Ten Commandments that says you have the right to bear arms. Is that like right
no,
after thou shalt?
So.
Is that not one
it.
Of the?
No.
Yeah. So once again,
no,
my schooling has failed me.
Thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
Oh, the Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I've got a little bit confused here. But the point being that do we go back, Mary? I mean, do we really go back to the point? And Deborah, what's your take on this? I mean, do we go back to the point of just pulling all of the guns off of the streets and getting them out of the hands of those other than those law
enforcement. No, there's going to be a black market. There's always going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think...
Yeah, because I all of a sudden started to picture gangster time. I mean, the reality is, if you... when you take something away and people are already feeling powerless, and see, mm-hmm. that's the position that I come from. When this kind of stuff happens, because people are... in their fear places are coming from a powerless position. And so they think that they have to take over, and sadly, mm-hmm. killing is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so take away guns, people are going to be coming even more from a fear place. And then, like you said, Mary, they're going to be going from a black market position.
Right.
So it's not going to solve.
And if you even take away all the guns, just like in China, they kill people with knives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing. So they just change their...
Just change the weapon.
Yeah, the problem is...
But you're not going to take on 9 people with a knife, right? I mean, it's just logistically... Yeah. All right. So first and foremost, obviously, you know, just let me remind you, it's a live show here. And if you want to join in on the conversation, we will be talking to Deborah Moorhead here shortly about reinventing relationships. But, you know, certainly if you have any feedback, if you have your own opinions or... potential solutions.
Yeah, Mr. Dark.
I know, right?
I know.
Regarding,
yeah,
exactly.
But it is top of
there's a reality.
Mind. It's news
yeah.
here.
Yeah, I can't look past this. I mean, I just feel like it's something we have to talk about. The number here in the studio is 866-977-2346, and that's number one when you dial in, 866-977-2346, number one, or if you're online at wsradio.com, it is Studio A. So as I look at this from an objective point of view, I just got to wonder what brought this kid to such an incredibly dark place. How do you get to that point? What has to happen in your life in order to feel as though that is your best option? That's what you have to do.
And like I said earlier, it's younger people. They're 17 to 25, maybe max. What is going on in their homes that they were raised in,
mm-hmm.
that they go that far down,
mm-hmm.
and that crazy that they're specifically targeting?
Yeah,
it's got to be something. I mean, I have not yet seen a study in terms of how many, and the terminology that a lot of folks are using now is sort of this lone wolf, you know, because it's not these groups of people. More and more of these attacks are just the one person sitting in a dark room, plotting and scheming, and then coming out and doing whatever it is that they're
doing.
With
no regard for their own lives.
Well, exactly. And then the question is, does it become a function of celebrity, right? I mean, is this their way of getting on society's radar? Like, do they feel so abandoned by society that this is the only way that they feel like they can be heard?
Yeah, and I think that that's a level of what we're talking about here, because I think there's two things, Mary. What you were just saying about what's going on in the home. I mean, my opinion is that there is some level of, I'd say two things, you know, my opinion, but that in the home, there is probably already some fear. There is already probably some, you know, racism of that this, you know, especially in this situation, is very clearly racism.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a level of it's a them against us. So that whole attitude has already been going on in that family, and it's a sense of power. It's got to be a we against them.
But there's also got to be some mental illness.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's where I would then say the other piece that's going on, and what we know, if we take it even out of the race situation, we know the kids that are going into their high schools and shooting up people and those kind of things, that there is a level of, you know, certainly mental illness in there, and then a level of that feeling abandoned, feeling
mm-hmm.
that I am all alone in the world. And there may be, you know, I'm tired of being heard. I'm tired of not being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out in these really aggressive, angry.
Drastic, desperate.
Yes.
So, so here's something to think about. If these guys are in their own homes, I work with a homeless drop-in center, Stand Up for Kids. And there are 40 to 50 kids that are allowed to go to this center for 4 hours a day between 4 and 8, and then they go out. and sleep on the streets because they're safer there than they are in their own homes.
Mm.
So they're not out killing, plundering, right, or doing anything like that. They're maybe because they're already in such survival mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so the contrast.
Well, yeah, it's. I think you hit some of it. Some of it is mental illness, and some of it that possibly mental illness. But it also is about, you know, other elements. I mean, even though these kids are, it's not safe in their home, but they also have other ways that they have learned how to cope or to think about things, or they've had, you know, like even being able to go to that kind of place, they have a sense of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I think
and
that with
self-care.
These, yeah, and self-care. And so then we have these mm-hmm. extremes where that is not there.
So before we end this segment, taking just that broad 30,000-foot view of human nature and what people are doing and drilling it down to relationships we have with the people closest to us and how our another show we had done was saying, you know, it's all about love and self-love before you can give love to others and accept love from others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to recognize because we're all broken on yeah. some level. Not me.
Of course,
no. He is really broken.
So whatever whatever brokenness you don't have, I more than make up for it. So it kind of puts
so
us right there in the
broken.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in
yes.
the broken.
So
state.
The median broken state in our room right now is a 5. Or would that be a mean?
Yes.
Is that the median or the mean?
Yeah.
See, exactly. Well, you know, we'll
so
figure
we can
out.
Talk about that when we get back from
and
the break.
And I thought this was so appropriate to talk about reinventing relationships, not just obviously love, but so many other types of relationships that affect our lives day in and day out. So we'll be right back with Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, well, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. If you're listening on the podcast sort of string here and you heard the last show, which was about reinventing self-love, then you know we had our guest on from Slovakia. And interestingly enough, I just got an email. Someone named Margaret Norton has a Ukraine mess. That's the subject line. And she says, sorry for any inconvenience. My family and I traveled down here to Odessa, Ukraine, for a short trip, but unfortunately we got mugged at the pack of the hotel where we stayed. All cash, credit card, and cells were stolen off us, but we're still lucky to have our passports with us. We've been to the police and the consulate here, but they're not helping with the issue. We were asked to wait for 1 week for proper investigation to be made, and our return flight leaves in 3 hours from now, but we're having problems. We can't settle the hotel bills, and the hotel manager let us leave until we settle the hotel bills. I need your financial assistance to settle the bills so that we can catch up with our flight and return home. So, you know, I got to tell you, I just sent her money.
Yes,
you know,
good for
I
you.
Did because I don't want her to miss her flight and, you know, getting stuck in the Ukraine.
Okay,
I mean, we saw how quickly, you know, we saw how quickly our last guest had to get out of Eastern Europe.
Yes.
So, yeah, we don't want this family to suffer anymore.
Did I mention this to you last week when this happened? I was driving to the grocery store. I go into the parking lot and there's a guy holding a sign, anything will help.
Mm-hmm.
I go shopping and I'm just about to go to checkout and I pass the liquor section.
Was it the liquor.com section, by the way?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It was the guy with 2 bottles of vodka.
He got his money,
and he went.
Right?
He didn't even blink or maybe leave and come back a little later. I was thinking to myself, okay, feed the poor. I was going to give him something on the way out of the parking lot.
Right. That's why.
Seriously.
That's why I never give them money. I always just say, let me buy you a sandwich or something like that, or you know, let me give you my shirt. Yeah. No one ever takes my shirt. I don't know why. I mean, I can't smell any worse than they smell. So I'm not sure. I talk about reinventing relationships.
Well, okay, so
I got to reinvent my relationship with my deodorant, evidently.
There you go.
Yeah.
So going. The homeless people, I mean, what is really for real? And like I said, we're all broken in some way.
Yes.
And we're not aware of it. Like Marietta was saying that if relationship after relationship is not working, you got to look in the mirror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Deborah, why don't you give everybody just kind of an overview of who you are and what you're doing?
Because
we're
here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we brought you into the first segment and you just jumped in. And Deborah was like, oh, this is going to be a happy, fun show. And of course, the first segment is like all about fucking reinventing gun control and deaths and hate crimes. So let's bring it back into the light here. So tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you're doing.
Sure. So the main thing I'm doing, which makes me so excited, and this is why I'm here, is because I am all about helping people, even if it's one person, to be able to do something to shift their relationship. Mm-hmm. Because people stay in mediocre and even unsatisfying relationships, and that drives, it breaks my heart, is actually what it does.
But it takes two.
I don't have to. It does, but I will also tell you, one of the things I do is I will often work with, and more often than not, it's the woman, not to say anything about men, but I will work with one of the partners and can be able to help them in how they can change, basically totally.
So give me a for instance.
Well, for instance, Deborah's not married. So exactly. So reinventing, relationships and happiness. Mm-hmm. Is there a statement there that you'd like to make?
because I'm not married?
Yes, exactly. Right. I mean, is it even possible to have in your, because you obviously work with a lot of families, you work with a lot of couples, you work with people individually from all of your, mm-hmm. What you've been, so you're like 22 now, right? So in your 2 years of experience, have you found, and by the way, I'm just, those who can't see Deborah, not 22, but we won't get into age because I learned a long time ago not to ask a woman her age.
Right.
But so from what you've seen, is it possible to have a deep, meaningful, fulfilling, happy relationship with a partner?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing if I haven't seen that, if I haven't been able to help people to get to that and seen that time and time again.
Mm-hmm. So how would you work with, like, the female? What tips or skill sets would you give her to go home and try and work on the relationship?
There is lots of different layers, and that's a big question. I'd start with one area, which is, it's really the idea of that we all experience care or love in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I would help her to identify what are the ways that her partner likes to be cared for.
Kind of like the five love languages?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Do you know your love language, by the way?
Give me a brief overview of the five.
One's like quality time.
One is time. Talking.
Gifts.
Gifts.
Access service.
Physical touch. Yeah, I'm all about physical touch.
Why am I surprised?
Yeah. I mean, like, really. And my wife, who, by the way, we've been married for almost 18 years now, so I'd like to think we meet some of that criteria. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, of course, like any couple. But, for me, it really is like my wife says I feed off of her. And it's like it is literally like when we're in that physical place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I literally feed off of her, and it's like if you think about a tank of gas, it's like when I'm getting to empty, that's when I start to have, a little moodiness and these sort of things. And for
meltdowns,
her it's all about quality time.
Oh, right. Is it?
Yeah. It is.
So mine is definitely words. I think it's called
affirmations,
words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not so much affirmations, just like I'm a communicator, I'm a talker.
Yeah.
That's why I have this job.
So you need to be heard? Is that sort of
Yeah, I like to be understood, too. Mm-hmm. I like to be heard and understood.
Yeah.
And then I like acts of service. If a guy does something nice for me, like even just getting me a cup of coffee.
Mary needs coffee right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just little things like that. Not big, huge things.
So you like the little things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like the little surprises. And, yeah. I don't care if I ever see him, so quality time is nothing.
So gentlemen, just to be clear here,
talk
Mary and... likes the little things. So, yes, exactly.
The big diamonds.
The big diamonds, exactly. All right, so have you seen certain qualities, like are there certain themes or qualities or consistent ways of being that you've seen amongst the relationships that seem to thrive?
Yes, absolutely. So relationships that thrive, there's several different layers. I know we always talk about communication and how important communication is, but it's so much deeper than that in certain ways. So certainly, if we go off the top things around communication, it's the areas that you do make sure you are not doing, such as criticizing, defending yourself, being mean, mm-hmm. And then just kind of cutting off or being cold. I mean, those are some of the things that you want to make sure you're not doing. So what do you want to be doing? And the relationships that really work well in that way are those relationships that there's a few different things. The first is that they actually make sure to move towards the other person was one thing. So because it's
what
so,
does that yeah
so what, it basically means
we like to take things out of the abstract
right.
here on
Thank
the Invention Radio.
Give people
practical,
I know I got my
practical
my
tips that we can live by.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's give an example. So let's say that you you've just been.
I like to wear women's pantyhose.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let me go with that one.
Right. Call me Caitlin. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. All right.
Is that where
no,
we're
so
going
are
with
you
this?
Saying like their position or their opinion about something, instead of bucking it, you kind of move forward toward them.
Exactly.
And understand even a portion of it.
Exactly.
And still they're crazy and
very
stupid.
Very good, Mary. That's right.
See, I play devil's advocate all the time. My wife hates that because she'll come home and she'll tell me a story about, ooh, this bitch did this at work and this, that, and that. And I'll be like, well, you know, honey, maybe she was blah, blah, blah. So
then she feels like she's not being supported or.
I'm like always like devil's advocate.
You better stop that.
Yeah. Well, you want to always play on their side. It's so that way it becomes a we rather than.
You ever see Chris Rock? You ever watch any of Chris Rock stand up? Like, ooh, no, she did. Oh, girl. Ooh, that bitch did what? Ooh, no.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you better pull that
bitch
out.
Crazy.
Yeah, so you at least let your first words be, I can totally get that.
That would make me upset too.
Yeah.
However,
it's a playing on their side.
You never know what's going on in other people's world.
That is true. So, yeah, so you want them to take those kind of steps and say, you know, find out what's going on with them, support them. This is one of the things that we all do is when somebody goes you or criticizes or blames for something, the most important thing, there's lots of steps to it, but mm-hmm. I call it the saber-toothed tiger sucks story, but the most important...
What?
That's what I call it.
I read that book, by the way.
Yes.
So before I read the 50 Shades of Grey series,
oh, brother.
I read the saber-toothed tiger sucks series.
I'm sure you learned a lot from it.
Okay, so, give us a hint before we go to break. About a minute.
Oh, yes, about the saber-toothed tiger sucks story?
Yeah, what is that?
You know what? It's really the idea of how when someone points or attacks our ego, what we end up doing and why we end up doing what we do and how to really change that. Because I don't know about you, but most of us have all left a situation saying, why the heck did I just do that or why did I just say that?
So let me throw this out just in case you're having any sort of relationship difficulty right now and you want Deborah to kind of help you through it. And of course, you don't want me to help you through it because you'll end up in a really fucked up place. But if you want to call in and ask Deborah about where, you know, something might be in your relationship, if you need some advice, if you need some help, give us a holler over here at 866-977-2346. And hit number one. And again, we are in Studio A on WSRadio.com. And right after the break, we're going to get more into depth on reinventing relationships.
And make you a better husband.
You know what? My
wife
would definitely appreciate that.
All right,
so be right back.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right. Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. I it's interesting, right? Because when we book our guests, sometimes they actually show up. And in this case, Deborah, you came all the way down from Los Angeles to be with us, which is just so cool. Yes. So thank you for that. And you will be fighting LA traffic on the way home. So please allow me to apologize in advance for whatever you experience.
Thank you.
So have you always been in that Southern California general vicinity? Or when you talk about reinventing relationships, you know, you reinvent your relationship with yourself first. So where did you start and how did you know you wanted to end up in this area?
Sure. I'd love to tell you some of the gory details about that. So actually, I am originally from Washington State. And that was the place where I continually were in pretty sucky relationships. Mm-hmm. Kept finding myself picking the wrong type of person to be in a relationship with. And I was an elementary school teacher and did pretty good all of those ways. But when it came to relationships, it just did not work out for me. So my kind of final one was somebody who was actually addicted to drugs. And so I kind of went through some messiness with that.
Which drugs?
Wow. It was actually cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, have you tried cocaine?
Would I ever answer that on air?
Your daughters are not listening to this. I've tried coke. Coke is not appealing. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's just like putting something up your nose. I mean, I want to blow my nose. I don't want to put something up my nose. Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
Well, and that's a drug that's out of control.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, living that with
somebody. That's what we should be doing, Mary.
No.
Not that kind of out of
control.
No,
I don't mean we should be doing coke. I mean we should be dealing coke. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, brother. Yeah. I swear we're going to get... People are going to come and take us away.
That's right. I love it, Steve.
See, Wade's smiling back
there.
Wade knows.
He's
ready. He's
ready.
He's like, yeah. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but Wade actually used to be a Colombian drug lord. Did you know that? Yeah, see, he's nodding his head. He did, absolutely.
He's like, sure.
Oh, okay, so sorry. Yeah. Your boyfriend had a coke problem.
Yes.
And you found that out
came home and he had a pile of his head
scary guys.
No, because
you ever see Scarface, by the way?
I did not.
What?
I relate every topic to movies.
Are you kidding?
Okay,
oh my god. So you have to go to the scene like at the end of the movie. Just fast forward like all the way to the end where he's got like this pound of coke on his desk and he's just like face down and he's like anyway, sorry. You've seen Scarface.
No, I haven't seen a Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend. By the way, you said you like the small things, so say hello to my little friend is it's appropriate for you. Okay, so he was doing coke and you were like, I gotta get out of this.
Because he stole from me on a couple different occasions and finally figured it out and
you're like, where'd my money go?
You
don't have teenagers.
And he
like
would
I
also
do.
Steal objects.
No, Deborah was like, where'd my coke go?
Yeah, that's what she
was.
Well, you have the face of a like an angel, so I'm like, how did you meet up with this guy?
I know. Well, you know how you pick the bad guys.
You have to draw the line somewhere. Yeah,
that's right.
It was fine
tipped
when
off
we
by
just
the Harley.
Yeah, we weren't quite getting along. That was fine. I figured we'd work through it. But once you got into my stash of coke,
that's over.
Yeah, exactly.
So through the line there. Yeah. So basically, my little end to it all was that. So this will age me. I had borrowed my dad's VCR, and I was
Was it a Betamax or was it a VCR?
It was a VCR.
Okay.
So it gives the right age range. Right.
My dad actually paid $2,000 for one of the first Betamaxes.
I believe it. I mean, they were so expensive.
They were.
Then, so, yeah.
And that was like in 1970 money. So that's like real money now.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah, and do you remember those?
Buy a house in Encinitas for that now.
Exactly. Those albums that were movies. They were laser.
Oh, the big laser discs.
They were on the market for like 13 minutes and gone.
Yeah. They just didn't work. Yeah.
Funny. Yeah.
We started using those for like our skeet practice. You know, like, pull!
That's
okay.
way to get rid of it.
We're not going to let her finish her story at all.
This is more entertaining. Yeah. So basically I had to go to my father and attempt to pay him back, which he did not take the money back. And then I had to actually tell him about the situation. And that was kind of my ending point. It was kind of like my rock bottom.
You got to tell Dad.
By the way,
Dad, I know you didn't really like him at first, but I don't think you're going to like him anymore when I share this story
so
with you.
So he went peacefully, this guy?
Well, you know what? That's when I said, I have got to figure out relationship stuff. And I actually moved down to California. So see, that was a long way around to say California.
LA?
So I came down here. I know. I came down here to get my master's degree and get my license as a marriage family therapist. And so you get to talk to crazy people all day. I do, and I absolutely love it.
Have you ever noticed in your sessions that people will come in and there will be a theme?
Yes.
Like maybe you get four drug people.
Did you used to be a
people.
Therapist?
Yes.
I used to be a coach.
What haven't you done?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy, right?
That's
so I would have people come in and they would all be in like, I hate my job.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Get like a week of
and
that.
And then I get like eight people that so-and-so just died and I'm really struggling with. I'm like, geez.
It's like everything just kind of comes in threes.
Similar themes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I often find that the themes also have to do with my own growth.
Yes.
So.
Oh, it's so. Yes. So somebody comes in and it's about this and you're like, well, I just learned that lesson yesterday.
Yes,
so let me be really wise and impart my heartache. To you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I got to ask you this question, right? And the question is, like, when I get parenting advice from somebody who doesn't have any fucking kids, it's like, keep your mouth shut, right?
Yeah,
I mean, don't talk to me about how to raise my kids.
Yep.
You know, because I'm the first one to pull off the belt. I mean, I'm not saying I was, you know, my dad wasn't slow with the newspaper when I deserved it. So, I'm not totally against it, but
we're the same generation.
We're the last generation. I got to tell you, the kids here are, we've got to have an intervention. You talk about relationships. We need to have a parental intervention in this Southern California. I won't speak for all of Southern California, but I'll speak for Carlsbad.
No, you can speak for all of Southern California.
These kids have no fucking manners.
Yes.
Like, first, they will go right by you on the bike. They won't say, excuse me. I could literally be at the mall and I could hold the door open for 30 minutes and people will just, you know, walk through, won't acknowledge, won't even look you in the eye, won't even say thank you.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to say to Marietta. It's hard to find community, tight community and closeness.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people that are from so many other areas and especially from the Midwest where we're from.
Yeah.
People are actually nice. Like when I was home in Minnesota once and I was walking to the grocery store from the parking lot and people were coming out and looking at me and smiling and saying hi. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me? Because it's not that way here. Yeah. Everybody keeps their head down.
Yeah.
So we digress. All right. So here's where I was getting with this, which is basically, so you do marriage counseling. Right. You work with couples and families,
and
right?
Individuals and children, yes.
And so that's the question, right? Is how can you be an effective marriage and family therapist if you're not married now, right? I mean, it's like, do you get people who kind of look, because I know for me, like if I want help with my kids, which Lord knows I need help with, you talk about, you know, it all starts in the home, my kids are screwed. But, you know, the point being that if I want parental advice, I will talk to someone else who has kids. So do you ever get any of that from any of the couples or do they, and I'm not saying this to knock you, I'm just curious because I'm just always curious in my own mind how like someone, it's like the coaches, and we were talking about coaches earlier, like if you've never had $1 million coaching business, don't tell me you can teach me how to create $1 million coaching business.
Sure.
So that's my question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no answer. Okay, good.
No. There is and there isn't an answer. I mean, the part of the answer is I don't have that experience. And so there are occasionally people who will say, well, I do want to go to somebody who has that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally respect that and I'm fine with that. And honestly, that's a place where I can let myself get insecure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's it also gives you, on the flip side, it gives you an objective.
And that, and that's the piece. This is the joy. I have had years now, 20 years now of being able to get in and to dig into the research, to have, to work with thousands and thousands of people. And so I do have tons of experience in those ways.
And you've also been in relationships.
And that's what I was going to say. And the other piece is actually, I have relationships and I've been in relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, and relationships, this is definitely coming from the therapist in me. And this, this gets some to even where we started off with the first segment, about what happened in South Carolina. Because here's the reality. As human beings, and this is what you were saying, Mary, we're all broken. As human beings, we all have some basic core stuff that's going on.
Sure.
And in a very short time with any individual within any family, I basically can get in and I can assess and know exactly what's going on at the core.
So,
and
what does your gut tell you? I mean, what does your intuition tell you? Like, if you sat down with that kid and his parent or parents, what do you think you would see in that dynamic?
I said I have to meet and assess.
That's almost impossible to figure out.
But based on the actions of that child, you probably or I mean, I guess it happens, right, where the child has everything that they need and their parents are kind of loving, and they still grow up to be assholes. So,
well,
I mean,
what? It's one of those things. Their brain could be just wired differently, like Bruce Jenner's.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and we also know that, you know, for boys, brains aren't fully, you know,
developed until
they're 25.
Yeah.
Or even a little bit later.
That's why I don't want them driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
frontal neocortex.
Supposedly, you hit puberty by the time you're there, 13 or 15 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. Like, I'm convinced it's like 50. So by the time I hit 50, I think I'll be there. So my brain and everything else is not yet fully developed.
So I'm going to let you get on the freeway ahead of me.
So I can watch the back of your car. Yeah.
So I definitely have to assess a little bit more, but so I'm really going to take a chance here. And part of the, you know, what was just going through my mind is it makes me wonder if there is some part of trying to show, prove something or show or connect to a parent and saying, look at what I did. And that's a total guess. Because there's so many different things that are going on there. And
you don't know if there's
really
abuse
scary.
In the family home. You don't know anything that makes that person snap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So after the break, I do want to talk about the family dynamics in terms of the father, son, mother, daughter. Okay. Some interesting things around that that I'd love to hear your take on. So we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olscher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, along with the talented Mary Goulet.
Thank you.
And Deborah Moorhead here in house. So here's my question for you. As we look to really dig in this last opportunity here to pick your brain about reinventing relationships, what do you think is the single most important relationship we have, period? If I'm as a man, is it with my father? If I, you know, if like, you know, for Mary, is it with her mother? Do you find that father-son mother-daughter. Is that the single most important relationship that someone will have in their life, and the way that that relationship goes down?
And how it shapes the person?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would say my most important relationship was with my mother, but it's the one that
had the most influence.
Right. But in an interesting way, because my parents were so totally different toward me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So to answer that, I would say it is a couple different things. It's the child's, who the child experiences as the primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
That, so it can be the mother, it can be the father. So who's the primary caregiver, especially, and this gets into me as a therapist, but in those first few years of life.
That's why we have you here,
life.
By the way.
Because you are a therapist.
That's right. It's those first few years that we basically experience, because that's where we understand and experience what's really, it's called attachment. It's mm-hmm. the type of attachment that we have. Then I will say that then you go beyond, because for a young boy, if there is a father in the picture, we learn about, a boy learns about himself as a boy through his father. A mm-hmm. girl learns about herself through her mother, because those are our same-sex role
models. But have you ever heard of the saying that I married my mother?
Oh, yes.
I married my mother twice.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, wait, it works that way, too? I thought that was just for the men. You're talking
the way my mother and would treat me.
Yes.
I married that.
So
what the heck?
Because this is what we do. This is what we all do as human beings. The unfinished piece of work, or the place where our core, the relationship, the person where our core needs were not met, that's what we unconsciously seek out in our romantic relationships, because our little self says, I'm going to get it right this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we project it.
And we put it out there. Yeah. Exactly right. And then, of course, we pick that type of person that is going to play it out in the same way.
Until we respond differently.
Exactly. And that's just it. And that's the piece where, that's where I say you can reinvent your relationships totally. Because once you understand what is that core need, why you keep picking the type of person that you keep picking, and then how you, in an attachment way, how you play it out the same way. Mm-hmm. So the second that you, my partner, you know, you hurt me, you disappoint me, you whatever, the second that you do, I revert back to the only ways that I knew how to relate, which was in those primary relationships. And as soon as you do that, then all
the
of a sudden you've
persists.
Got, exactly, and
mm-hmm.
you've got this dance that's
but
going on.
The good news is, like Marietta was saying in the other show, mm-hmm. that once you take a look at yourself and identify, and you get really good at seeing, okay, that person has elements of my mother,
mm-hmm. yes.
you respond with awareness to that person
exactly.
instead of your unconscious.
Yes.
All right, so here's what I got to know.
Yes.
So two things here. So first and foremost, do you believe that a child is who they're going to be by the time they are around two or so? I mean, because I'm thoroughly convinced that a child is the person it is going to be by the time they are around two.
And I'd say three, but yes, I actually do agree with that.
Yeah,
I do too. I think it could be.
I actually do agree with that. I mean, it's not that we don't have other things that happen in our life that have an influence, but yes.
But they are who they are. And so let's take that a step further, which is the argument about nature versus nurture. And I've had this conversation with other people, and I happen to believe that nature wins every time. I don't care how you were nurtured. Nature eventually takes over and you get back to how you are naturally wired. What's been your experience with that, Deborah?
I would actually say the opposite.
Interesting.
I would actually say nurture, but then I'm a therapist. Mm-hmm. That would be my point of if I'm going to jump in there and help people to change.
Otherwise, you know, it's right.
Why am I here? You're just going to revert back to being an asshole.
Yeah. I believe that there are certain things. There are our temperaments, and there are pieces of our personality. And you know this, anybody who has more than one child, you go, oh, my gosh.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that was a mistake. I mean, I love my little man, but Jesus, I feel so sorry for my 11-year-old. His life would have been so much different if we didn't have that little. Cause
really?
I mean, I love my 8-year-old as well, but right. Good Lord,
does
that boy.
Does he rule the house?
Oh my God, that child is a tyrant. He's
really?
From the fucking
his
womb, man.
Really?
I mean, like,
yeah.
he was punching his way out.
Does he look like you?
Yeah.
He is me. Yes. Yes, he is me. Oh, but actually, I think he's the saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
Nice, right? So
yeah.
We didn't
nice
actually
segue.
Finish that,
yeah,
right?
That's
yeah,
right.
That's why I'm in Radio Land here. So yeah. Talk to me, because we didn't get that actual. What's that story around the saber-toothed tiger? I had it written down here.
That's
and
funny.
Never
yes.
actually got back to it. So yes. What was that all about? Did you?
What
maybe
can he expect from his son?
Yeah, right?
Well, it's not necessarily a personality piece, but it's really that piece of how does our body work? How does our brain work? And then how can we make choices to do something different? So this is the way that I picture it. And it's not anything, it's common sense in some ways, but it's not what we always remember. We all walk out of situations where we were hurt or disappointed and we do or we say something that we kind of go, ugh. Can't
shouldn't
believe I did that.
That.
Shouldn't have said that, right? So the saber-tooth tiger, and I tell this especially when I'm working with kids all the time because I work with lots of kids, but it's actually true for all of us, is that, and we know this, we still have our caveman brains in certain ways. And so,
In all ways.
I was going to say.
I downplay a little bit. Yes. It's my hopeful part.
And that's what I'm talking about with the nature versus nurture, because I know for a fact that I have seen people do all sorts of therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to Landmark to be a better person. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they become Buddhist to meditate and calm down, and then shit hits the fan and they are right back to exactly how they are naturally wired. So no matter all, you know, no matter what the training is, no matter how much time they spend meditating and trying
to
be
calm. But, you know, they've improved their life somewhat, and they just every now and then they have a weak moment, and
which we all have our weak moments, but I think that's the people, we have our weak moments, we're still going to react, and it's about being able to put the power back in our own hands, because mm-hmm. you can't tell me that those people who still react, you know, if it is from nature or whatever, that they feel good about themselves, that they want to
right.
be doing that. And so,
but they can't help it.
I would argue with that.
And you see people who replicate those actions consistently throughout their lives. They may go longer periods of time, like maybe it's not 3 months, maybe now it's 4 months in between episodes, but eventually they hit it again. And so that's the nature kicking back in. Yeah, you're getting the, I'm getting a head shake here. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't agree with that.
Fast on that.
Yeah, and
so there
I
are some people who have been able to overcome nature.
Yeah,
and all right, let's do this. So,
that's what I believe.
You know, obviously, you know, we would need a full 24
yes,
hours to. Or more mm-hmm. to get to the bottom of this
yes.
thing. But let's do this for folks. How do people find out more information about you, Deborah?
Absolutely. So they can go to my website, which is deborahmoorhead.com, and it's Deborah, like the biblical, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, and Moorhead with one O, M-O-R-E-H-E-A-D.com.
Right, because you know how much of the Bible I read. So actually next week, what I'm going to do, Mary, is that okay if I bring my Bible and,
sure.
And we start quoting verses?
There we go.
Yeah.
No. I can't.
I don't actually own
Old
a Bible.
Testament. Oh.
Yeah. No. And you saw how I got the Ten Commandments and Declaration of Independence.
Oh, that's right.
And
totally
the
did.
Constitution and
yes.
whatever it is. So you can see my, yes, so. Yeah. All right. Here's what I know. I know that it is possible to reinvent relationships.
Absolutely.
I know it is possible to reinvent yourself.
Yes.
And I know that it was a pleasure having you on. So we'll be right back the next time
nice.
For Mary Galea and myself. We'll see you next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.